Welcome back to the Wrong Opinion, useless NBA trivia and garbage rankings. We are back this week, season two of Best Who Never. This is the Best Who Never led the league. Led the league in what, you ask? Well, it totally depends. So this is probably the dumbest one of these I've ever done. Originally, I was going to do best players who never led the league in scoring and rebounds and assists, doing that all kind of separately. And then I just realized that wouldn't be too interesting. First of all, you're going to see this when we get to the point guard section. Most guys who you'd think led the league in assists at some point, right? Not a lot of great passers who didn't have one assist champion year. And then when you get to the big guys, most of them also, the great rebounders for the most part, led the league in rebounding at some point. There's like three or four names. And there's a lot of guys you could say for scoring that it's just like, oh wow, that guy never got a scoring title? All right. So I think it just made sense to do them all kind of together. And then I was just going to rank them 1 to 10, 1 to 15. And then I thought I'd just get a little weird with it and have first team, second team, third team, point guard through center, and try to rank. It's not the, okay, the better player doesn't always end up ahead of worse players, right? It's just how I'm comparing how good guys are at two different things. So if I have a power forward who's the best scoring power of all time, but he never led the league in scoring, he might be ahead of a better power forward who never led the league in rebounding, who was less of a good rebounder than the other guy was scoring. Okay? I know, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. Let's start off first team and work our way down. First team point guard. At point guard, probably the best scoring point guard in terms of just pure scorer, not necessarily great player, but pure scorer of the last 10 years, Damian Lillard never led the league in scoring. Last year was up to 30 points a game, hit 30 again in, I think, 2021, a couple years back. Bunch of all NBA teams, first team back in 2019. He also might be, 2018, first team, sorry. He also might be the worst defensive player of all good players in the league in the last several years. But in terms of, like, you think of him as a great shooter. He's a volume shooter in terms of three-point shots. That being said, when he has the ball and you're down 2 points, there's nobody that's scarier to look at than Damian Lillard. So the numbers kind of lie in that sense. But it's more than just shooting. He is a free throw hound. He can get anywhere on the court. It's just, I mean, he's mini Carmelo Anthony, basically. If Carmelo Anthony were 5 inches shorter and worse defensively somehow, it'd be Damian Lillard. First team shooting guard. This one, I legitimately forget every single time it's asked that this guy did not win a scoring title. David Thompson. His first year was in the ABA, 26 points a game as a rookie, second in MVP voting, and then his second year was post-merger. Five straight years at 20 points a game. In his third season, 27.2 points per game. Dropped 73 in the final game to try to win the scoring title. George Gervin scored 60-plus to narrowly get past him. But Dave Thompson was pre-Jordan. You know, healthy amount of free throws, but just relentless basket attacker. And even small, he was 6'4". There's a reason to call him Skywalker, though, because he had freaking hops. You don't see enough of his highlights on the TikTok feed, but until the last few years, I think he was the best player in franchise history. I would take him over Alex English. And of course, drugs and injuries. Yeah, get in your way, but whatever. Avoid those at all costs. Second team, or first team, small forward. This guy, I probably would have picked whether I went with scoring or rebounds. This is Elgin Baylor. His best rebounding season was 61, 19.8 rebounds per game. The next year, he was on military duty, only played 48 games. The next year, 38 plus points per game. He's playing the same league as Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell. So what are you going to do? NBA history, fifth all-time in points per game. Third if you discount active players. 27.36 points per game. First team power forward. That example I used up top was not just made up. Dirk Nowitzki. I would say he's a better scorer than the other two names on this list were at anything. Any one thing, I should say. Even though he was a lesser player. But for his career. So the most points he ever scored per game was in 06. 26.6 points per game. Not insane, but for like a decade straight, he was just a guaranteed 25 points per game. And most importantly, it was just unstoppable. He could have scored more if he was less of a team player, but he dished the ball. He shared the ball around a lot more than I think people give him credit for. Some people have compared his, have looked at his 2011 playoff run and kind of said that Carmelo Anthony could have been in the same sort of role. But Melo just wasn't as good of a passer as a distributor. Not even like setting people up, but just playing like low usage percentages, playing within a system. Dirk owned that. And just because he had low assist numbers, I think people forget that. But that's why his scoring is lower, because he just was not a ball hog, you know? For his career, 21 points per game. That kind of happens when you play until you're 40 years old. I mean, his last 8 years were just, you know, bleh. So a little less than impressive. First team center. I'm not going with rebound guy. I'm going assists, and I'm going Nikola Jokic. Last year was his best chance, 9.8 assists per game as a center. This year his scoring went up a little bit. His assists went down just a tiny, tiny bit. Not quite sure why that is. His percentages are also way down since last year, but last year was just insane. And yet he didn't win MVP because, I don't know, people complain. But whatever. If you told me that you think Nikola Jokic is the best player or is the best passer in the NBA right now, I wouldn't argue with you. If you said he's the best passer in NBA history, I would hesitate, but not argue with you. I wouldn't agree, but I wouldn't argue with you. For his career, almost 7 assists per game, but that's kind of, you got to throw out the first 3 years before he just really let loose the way he was playing. Really, it wasn't until last year. I mean, he almost averaged a triple-double playing low usage percentage. Just impossible. So that's our first team. Dame with scoring, David Thompson scoring, Elgin Baylor scoring and rebounds, Dirk scoring, and Nikola Jokic with assists. Second team point guard. You might hate this. I kind of hated this. John Wall with assists. For his career, 8.9 assists per game, 3 straight years above 10 assists. Like, when you look at Wall, the things that kind of stand out are the athleticism. He was a really good scorer, not a good shooter at all, but just really athletic, awesome defender. But he's one of the best passers I've seen in my entire life. Seeing him live is just, you really understand what I'm talking about, because he was probably the craftiest player of his era, of that post Rajon Rondo era. Chris Paul was a better passer, but Wall played in a way that, I don't want to say street ball, because I think that's kind of derision, but a little bit like that. Rondo did it at a level that was, you know, straight up winning ball. And John Wall wasn't always that, but just incredible passer, and there's just no denying that. Second team shooting guard. If you asked me if this guy led the league in scoring every single time, I would go, yeah. Oh, wait. No, he didn't. But it makes you think. If you know basketball a little bit, you know this name, and it always throws you off because you don't think about him until you do, and then it's like, wait, he was really good. It's just a lot of back and forth between whether or not he was good. World Be Free, 1980, 30 points per game. Scoring leader that year was George Gervin at 33.1, so that's freaking ridiculous. World Be Free, I think, maybe I overrate him more than other people do, because he played, he had a prime with 4 different teams where he was putting up 20 points a game. His first few years with Philly were really lame, and then with the Clippers, he just went off as one of the best scorers in the league. Of course, he's playing with the Clippers, they sucked, so, I mean, of course, he's going to put up a lot of points. Really good three-point shooter for his era. Up to 40% in 86. 42%. Only taking 2.3 a game. But just a born scorer. Not going to help your team win. He's the kind of guy that people would call a point guard. And then you watch him play for 20 seconds. And it's like, yep, that's not a point guard. It was Allen Iverson, you know, 20 years earlier. Just less good. Second team, small forward. This one was tough. Small forward is really tough because to be a small forward, you're probably just a little bit good at everything, right? Like, think of every small forward. I don't think, when you think of small forwards, you don't think of somebody who's the best at something other than maybe like wing defense. And that's not really applicable here. I went with Larry Bird for scoring. I think if you ask a casual fan, they would just assume he led the league in points at some point. Never did. 29.9 points per game was his highest. For his career, 24.3 points per game. He was also at 10 boards and 6 assists. If a 27-7-7 is a LeBron, then a 24-10-6, that's a Larry Bird. He could score at any point on the floor. He just wasn't. He was more interested in passing. He was probably the second best passer of that decade. I also want to include John Stockton in there towards the second half of it. But if he wanted to, he could have led the league in scoring. He even said once that he didn't want to because nobody had led the league in scoring and won a title since Oh man, I don't remember who the name was, but thinking back, was it Kareem in 71? And then since then, like, I think it was until Shaq. Oh no, Michael Jordan did that 20 times. I think Shaq did it. Since then, I can't think of anybody. Scoring titles don't help your team win. Second team, power forward. He's going to be number one on a list in a couple weeks here because he was the best defensive player of his era. And yet he had no, just nothing to show for it other than 5 rings and 2 MVPs. If you look at his basketball reference, no, nothing in bold. Nothing. This is Tim Duncan for rebounds. 11 a game for his career from 98 until 2010. I mean, he was just 25 and 12 every single game with a couple blocks. If you want to include blocks titles for this list, I mean, 2.5, 2.5, 2.2. It's just 2.5 plus for a decade straight to start his career. And then 2013 kind of revitalized his career, thinned out, lost a bunch of weight to be just less, you know, lighter on his feet. And he should have won Defensive Player of the Year that year at 36 years old. Best rebounder to never win a rebound title, at least among power forwards. Of course, he's better than Dirk, but Dirk's just a better scorer than Tim Duncan as a rebounder. That's not weird. Second team center, Nate Thurmond. 20 rebounds a game. 2 straight seasons averaging 20 rebounds a game and nothing to show for it. For his career, 15 freaking rebounds a game. And that's including the last couple years where he's at 5 because he's just old and washed. There's another guy in a couple picks here who had 20 rebounds a game in a season and didn't win the title, which is just unbelievable looking back. But that's, I mean, the Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell difference there. In that 67 season, 19 and 21, second in MVP voting behind Wilt Chamberlain and route to his first title. So that's our second team. John Wall for assists, World B Free for scoring, Larry Bird for scoring, Tim Duncan rebounds, and Nate Thurmond for rebounds. 13, point guard. I went with Kevin Johnson. I question going him above John Wall. They're very similar players in that they're both, John Wall was bigger. They're both very athletic, strong, could attack the basket. In clutch moments, both of the guys, you'd be okay having the ball in their hands. John Wall was a little tougher for the Sterics. He couldn't shoot. Neither could Kevin Johnson, really, but it didn't matter as much back then because nobody was sacking off of him. Just terrifying when they attacked the basket. Kevin Johnson, of course, had injury stuff kind of end his career a little bit early, just like John Wall did. And both were insane passers. Kevin Johnson, 89, 12.2 assists per game, and route to a most improved player. 4 straight years with 10 plus assists, peaking at 12.2 a game in his most improved player season in 89. That's higher than John Wall. It was also easier to get assists in that era. It's really easy now. So if John Wall is playing at this point, if he just stayed healthy a little longer, maybe be getting 12 a game, but whatever. He should be a Hall of Famer. I think that probably because he's had some he's one of those guys who's not going to be a Hall of Famer right away, right? Just because his career wasn't quite good enough. 3 All-Stars, a few All-NBA teams, made 1 Finals as the second best player when he was kind of past his prime. But then when it came time to be Hall of Famer, he had just some personal terrible things come up that nobody really wants to hear. So he's probably out, whatever. Third team, shooting guard. This one was really tough for me. I thought about Clyde Drexler, but I wouldn't call him he's a really good scorer. 27 points a game a couple years in a row. One of the best scorers in the league at the time. But this guy is just a pure, pure scorer, and that's it. He's like prototypical shooting guard. So much so that he made the Hall of Fame doing nothing but scoring on bad teams. That is Mitch Richmond. 6 straight All-Stars in the mid-90s after the Run TMC era. A couple All-NBA teams. Second team All-NBA 3 times, third team twice. Again, this was a bad, like the late 90s, kind of a bad, like a diluted league. By the time he was in Washington, the league was even worse, but he was just done by then. For his career, 21 points per game. That's really good. 22 a game as a rookie, just a pure scorer. He could shoot 39% for his career. A couple years at 43% from 3, 85% free throw, efficient. But just no assists, no rebounds, no defense, not a lot of wins. I think he made the playoffs 1 time as the best player on his team in 96, weak league. 4 playoff games in 96. 2002, he played with the Lakers. Did absolutely nothing. 4 points a game in 11 minutes. Played 4 minutes in the playoffs. So, you know, he got a ring. Good for him. Just born scorer, and that's literally it. I don't know that he should be in the Hall of Fame for that, but yeah, what are you going to do? Third team, again, small forward is a tough position. I didn't want to go with this guy. I think he's the only modern peak player. I guess Jokic. Jason Tatum for scoring. I might regret this, but last year he put up 30.1 points per game, most in franchise history. The Celtics, that's insane. It's not the Hornets history, the Celtics history. Second best franchise in NBA history. For his career, 23 points a game, and that's despite not scoring 20 until his third year, and he's only 7 years deep, 8 years deep. He's only 7 years deep. He feels so old. That's what happens when you play 94 playoff games in your first 7 years. That's including a five-game series in 21, whatever. Just insane how much he's accomplished at a young age. I hate the Celtics, so I hate saying that, but he's an incredible player. He's 26 years old, so he can easily get off this list. He's a year away from what you'd expect a peak to be. Guys initially peak at 23 and then a second peak at 27. That just happens so, so often. It's not every time, so don't at me with times when it didn't happen. But his first, but just if you look at guys at the 23-year season and then again at the 27, you see a first peak and a second peak. His first peak, he made the finals at 23, a year away from that second peak. So we'll see if he can get off this list. 13 power forward, Jerry Lucas. Just like Nate Thurmond, 20 rebounds a game twice in 65 and 66. Actually, the 2 years preceding Thurmond's two 20 rebound per game seasons. I think, like, looking back, he's not a guy I would like. I heard he chased down rebounds to pad the stats. I heard he wasn't a winning player. I never saw him play. He is 84 years old. Today's his birthday. Holy crap. Happy birthday, Jerry Lucas. Interesting figure in NBA history, just in terms of being a person. But for the sake of this list, he never led the league in rebounding, which is kind of crazy. Really important player for the Knicks, too, and that kind of probably immortalized him in a way different than if he had just been with the Royals for his career. For his career, 15.6 boards per game, 19.1 in his 7 years with Cincinnati. Third team center, the only Celtics jersey I have and probably will ever have. Maybe I'll get a Hondo one eventually. Dave Cowens, 11 seasons, basically 10. He retired for 2 years, then played 40 games with Milwaukee. But 10 seasons with Boston, where he won titles, won an MVP, never won a first-team All-NBA. Explain that to me. 14 rebounds a game for his Celtics career. His rookie year, he was 17 and 15, then 19 and 15, 20 and 16, 19 and 16, 20 and 15, 19 and 16. Just constantly in the teen and teens, you know? And yet, never got over the hump. Peaked at 16.2 rebounds per game. The rebound leader that year was late career Wilt Chamberlain at 18.6. So that's our third team. Kevin Johnson for assists, Mitch Richmond for scoring, Jason Tatum for scoring, Jerry Lucas for rebounds, and Dave Cowens for rebounds. Apologies to Trae Young. I had him at second team point guard for scoring, but Kevin Johnson and John Wall were just great passers. It's a point guard, you know? They got to be on the list. Trae Young could be on the list for passing, too. Great passer. He's probably going to overtake one of those guys eventually. Karl Malone. Now, he's second in scoring. He's second in NBA scoring for his career right now. I wouldn't say he was one of the best several scoring power forwards ever. He just played a lot of games, right? Not that he's excellent player. I don't think he was a better scorer than Lucas or Duncan were rebounders. And definitely not better than Dirk was at scoring. So, sorry to you, but all small forwards, apologies to you. Scotty, Hondo, Dr. J never led the league in anything, but just you're not shocked that they did. They weren't the best scorers in the league when they played. Larry Bird was probably the best scorer in the league for a couple years, never led the league in scoring. Jason Tatum, probably the best scoring forward in the league right now. If you call Giannis a big instead of a forward, you lied a little bit. You can say that. Whatever. Apologies to Giannis. He could have been on this list. I don't think he's... I don't know. I think Giannis might be the toughest cut. I kind of want to go back and put Giannis at scoring. 13 power forward. But I don't know. 20 rebounds a game and not leading the league in scoring and rebounding. That's crazy. Whatever. If you hate my wrong opinion, tweet me at wrong opinion NBA. We're going to be back next week We're getting to the awards. This is going to be the fun one. We got 5 awards, and we're going through the best players who never won that award. The third one coming up is the one that's most interesting to me, and I think the reason I did this entire season. So we'll see that when we get there. But until then, peace out.